Hi everyone, and thanks for listening to Lit Radio podcast. I'm Teja, and today I'm joined by Dr. Catherine Ho Shiyang. We'll talk about her latest book, Harmony in Differences: Understanding the Chinese Perspective of Politeness. Catherine is an award-winning author and applied linguist. She is head of East Asian Languages at the London School of Economics, program director of LSE's BSc International Relations and Chinese course, as well as UK director of LSE Confucius Institute for Business London. She is the author of the award-winning book Bridging the Gap. Harmony in Differences takes you on a journey through the intricate rituals, philosophies, and everyday practices that shape how respect, trust, and power are communicated in Chinese society. Hi, Catherine. It's a great pleasure to have you with us again on the Lit Radio podcast. I'm very excited to talk with you about the second book in the Navigating China series, Harmony and Difference. But first of all, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you, Taya, for having me. And also, Happy New Year. I hope you had a great celebration. It's great to come back, as you say, to talk about the new book.
Yeah, absolutely. And Happy New Year to you, too. So let's first start with why you decided to write Harmony and Differences.
I think, obviously, as you already know, the book is really about politeness, and it's about how we perceive politeness differently from different culture, particularly the book focuses on China. I think the story really began when I first came to UK in 2001. And I think the whole idea of politeness really shaped my academic research and also the career that I'm having now. So when I first came to UK, what struck me the most is that how polite people are. But polite and surprised me in a very different way in terms of how often people tend to say thank you and sorry. I was very intrigued by that because I just don't feel Chinese say so many thanks or so many sorries at all. And I start to think about why is that case? Is that because Chinese are not as polite as the British? And that's really the starting point of, I get very curious about the differences. And I actually spent 4 years of my PhD doing differences, cross-cultural differences in apology strategies between UK and China. So I think the whole idea of politeness really fascinated me with my personal experience first arriving in the UK as a student. And I think nowadays, after, you know, 20 years working and, you know, as a student, but now working and as a profession in applied linguistics, dealing with intercultural communication day on day, I really think this topic is really, really useful. And it actually tells us a lot from, you know, leadership, how power dynamic works. And particularly in the coming age of AI, it's a topic that really distinguish human beings' behavior from machine and how we could have a harmonious, you know, and polite society, but can be done in so many different ways and different perspectives. So this is the, you know, kind of a, from a professional perspective, why I want to inform the readers and dig together and explore this topic with my readers.
Fascinating. And so, as someone who is coming from Eastern Europe, I can absolutely relate to what you're saying. I mean, for me, it felt so strange how often I heard thank you and sorry, even when it's not your fault here in the UK. So yeah, I think it's really fascinating, the differences, the cultural differences when it comes to politeness. But Catherine, how does this book follow up from the first title in the series, which is Bridging the Gap?
Thank you for mentioning the theory, Navigating China. So the whole theory, you know, aimed to enable readers to understand China through its culture, through its communication style, and also philosophy to be better informed when it comes to doing business with China. So that is the whole aim of this theory. But the first book, Bridging the Gap, it really trying to offer an overview to readers. And I tried to, you know, combine applied linguistics, psychology, philosophy, and trying to inform the readers how Chinese communicate and why do they communicate in that way, and what are the strategies that we can deal with the differences in the way we communicate. So it's a kind of a framework and comprehensive insight into how to communicate more effectively with Chinese counterpart in business. Now, this second book has obviously the depths that, so the first book is really focused on the breadth of how to engage and communicate better with China. But this book goes a little bit beyond communication. It's also about behavior. It's about also social perspective. And the main differences is I go a little more in depth and looking at politeness, of course, through linguistic lens, but more from different angle and different kind of communication practice a leader or a business professional may encounter in their professional life. Like, for example, when should we agree? If we disagree, how do we approach that? Negotiation, how does politeness play a role in negotiation? Silence. But of course, then I also share a little bit of, wisdom and insights from Chinese perspective, both in terms of information, right? You know how to deal with that, but also as strategy people might not consider and they can apply and they can learn so that they can use it in their own professional practice.
Absolutely. I think that really follows up nicely from the first book and really takes the subject further. But before we talk more about the book and what politeness might look like for in the Chinese society, could you talk to us about the writing process of this book? What was it like to write it?
I think because I tried to, bridge, obviously, there's a lot of research. There's a lot of academic research and theory, particularly from West perspective already on the topic. So I think part of the book is to try to almost like offer a literary review, so to speak, but in a much more reader-friendly manner to share with the audience about what we already know about politeness, particularly from Western perspective. But then the writing then, naturally take the reader from a different lens. That is the Chinese angle and the Chinese perspective. I try to use a little bit more comparative perspective to enable the reader understand what would be politeness behavior interpreted and understood and applied from Chinese perspective. And then the writing really move into more practical spaces. So I think as any of my writing, as I want to offer practical tips and practical insights. So I think then it move into different situational or scenario that we may encounter, that politeness can play a very important role or become a strategic tool. So I think my writing kind of follow this thread in my head. Start with what we already know and bring a different perspective, and then how these perspective kind of contrast, apply, and together in different scenarios. So that is kind of how shaped my writing and how the book, in a way, I'm kind of already explained the structure. I think that reflects how the writing process I have is I always have a structure in my head, and then I'm kind of filling the gaps with the information that I want to convey.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a very practical approach. And I know you're also writing some other books as well. So it seems like it works really well for you. Okay, so now going back to the book and also the whole notion of politeness. So as we've discussed here in the UK, politeness and being polite is a big part of the society. But what role does politeness play in Chinese society?
Surprisingly, even Chinese people do not say maybe thank you or sorry so often or so frequently as we may observe in the British society. But it is actually a culture and a civilization emphasize a lot on politeness, a lot on ritual, and a lot on structure and harmony. I think the differences is that obviously, I think politeness ultimately, particularly if we think about a business or kind of a professional setting, it's about power, it's about legitimacy. So basically, when and how you could agree or disagree, when you should interrupt, or whether that's considered polite or impolite, it very much depends on how the society is structured. So in the UK, it is very important when we think about manner. So politeness is very closely linked to the perception of manner. Good manner means saying thank you and saying sorry when it's due. But then in Chinese society, it's not just about the manner. So in a chapter of the book, I do talk about the manner, the etiquette we know in business setting, but it's also about what is considered to be obligation and what is considered to be the right. So one of the things I kind of explain in the book, why then we don't say, let's say, thank you so often in Chinese society. So if we think about in the British context, when you go to the supermarket, when you go to a restaurant, when you go, different places, people just say thank you as a default. But in the Chinese society, it is because, for example, in a restaurant setting, now the waiters or waitress, their role or their responsibility is to provide a service. Now, because of that obligation or that kind of social understanding, the customers are not necessarily obliged to say thank you. It's not because the customers want to be rude or not want to be considered, but it's just because of that context and that setting. It's not considered impolite if you do not repeatedly say thank you or express your gratitude. Then, in a family setting, that's also another interesting contrast. Because if you are considered to be a good, family member or a good friend, now if you want to offer support, help to your family members or your friends, they are expected. Again, this is because that is the way a good family member or good friend should behave. Now, in that circumstances, again, you don't need to or you shouldn't be expected to say thank you. The moment you say thank you, it's almost like you're putting a little bit distance between you and your close family members. And that is actually considered not okay. It's maybe not impolite, but it's not socially acceptable. So you can see how we approach it quite differently. One is about maybe the manner in general, regardless who you are, but the other is very in a hierarchical structure and it's very much tied to the role and the obligation. And that will give legitimacy to the linguistic behavior when it comes to verbally express certain expressions like thank you and apologies. And then I think the second layer of differences, which I really enjoyed because as you know, I'm an applied linguist, is about also the language refinement in Chinese. So that is very unique. I say unique. Of course, in English, you also have, formal, informal differences, right? So you have ways to make language more sophisticated and more beautiful in the way you articulate them. But in Chinese, it's so essential. The language refinement is so essential when it comes to politeness. So we have a lot of expressions by default is to serve a means of being polite. So simple, like how we ask each other's names. So if I've not met you before in China and met you for the very first time, I would say 您贵姓. So literal translation is what is your expensive surname? So it's like I'm showing respect to your family because, again, the social structure, right? Family is very, very important. But what is your expensive? That means honorable. So usually we translate that into English. What is your honorable name? What is your surname, right? If it's in English, you wouldn't necessarily say that. But it's important in Chinese concept. And because we also have this humbleness, modesty. So when I ask you, I would to say expensive. But what I'm actually doing is to be polite to you, to show respect to you and to your family. And then, when you answer, so if someone say ask you, I will use that, what is your expensive surname? But funnily, when you then reply, you would say 免贵. That means please remove the expensive, please remove the, honorary part, and then you give your surname. So again, it's the counter politeness to inform the other person. No, my surname, is the equal and your surname is as honorable, right? Please remove that from what you say. So little things like this. So we have so many expressions of that in Chinese language, really in everyday life and a lot in business context to show not only you are polite, but also it's a signal as you are well educated as well. So we use that not only in daily verbal communication, but also a lot in written communication. For example, when you send out a business invite. So that's where, the linguistic refinement, how you frame that message, will show what how polite you are and how sophisticated and well-educated you are by doing that.
Very interesting. I think it's really fascinating to see those differences that you don't really think about, for example, when you're doing business with Chinese counterparts or even when you're visiting the country.
Yeah, I tell you another one is quite funny because if for people who have already visited China, they probably have heard that expression a lot because this is typically when you go to any restaurant or any shops, you will hear that. So it's literally welcome, 欢迎光临, but the literal translation is welcome your shiny presence. So it's like when you walk into the door, people say, "Oh, you're like the light coming to our store. We're so honored, and your presence is bringing, this glory into our shop or into our space." So again, that's another example, but it's so everyday. Sometimes people think, hear it, and the translation will just say welcome, right? But they lose that hidden, cultural nuance in the translation. And that is actually part of the Chinese politeness.
Yeah, very interesting. And obviously, you talked about the role politeness play in Chinese society, and we can already see that it's quite different from the one here in the UK and in the West as a general. So, if you have to compare both, how would you say the Chinese perspective of politeness differs from our perspective here in the West?
Obviously, linguistically, we kind of touch upon some kind of formulae. It's very important in the UK language, right? Thank you, please. But in Chinese, it's more contextual based. It's linked to the role, the obligation. And we do use language refinement to express politeness. So I think that's what we've covered so far. And other differences, I think there's a lot in terms of the nonverbal as well. Nonverbal communication is a big part of it, how you behave, right? So that is very useful for business people to know when they welcome Chinese delegations or when they travel to China. Very simple things, having a business meal. It's almost, common in any, culture or setting. But obviously the expectation is slightly different, right? Where you sit kind of determine who's going to pay in China, for example, because there's a specific seat you will sit, typically the most let's say powerful or well-respected person, the host, will be sitting like opposite of the door. So you kind of already have that seating arrangement and indicating also who's going to pay the bill. And the other thing is we have very different rules when it comes to what is polite when it comes to eating food and what is polite when it comes to drinks. So when it comes to food, usually it's very polite to leave some food on your plate because you want to show generosity. Well, in the UK, we know it's the opposite. If you want to show really enjoyed meal, you really should clean your plate. That's show, your appreciation. You really enjoy the food. But in Chinese, it's the opposite. You want to show generosity of the host. We want to kind of say, "Oh, you've prepared more than enough of what I can handle." But then the opposite come to drinks, and usually, when it comes to the Chinese liquor, when we do toast, then it's like bottoms up. That's the best way to show respect. We tend to say "干杯," that literally means dry the glass. So you do really need to dry the glass, and you really need to learn to pace yourself very well as well when it comes to that. So I think all this nonverbal element can naturally, for form a good first impression and how you carry yourself. These are, the things I think relatively easy to learn. And I think the other thing quite different and it sometimes can cause a bit of confusion or misunderstanding is the concept around negative politeness. So negative politeness is one of the concepts defined by Brown Levinson, so very important linguist defining the idea of politeness. So they say one element of politeness is about negative face. That means every individual, we do not want to be imposed upon by other people. So if you imagine people tell you, "Come here, go, leave," then they're telling you what to do, they order you what to do. That's obviously not polite, right? So we want to then soften our language, say, do you mind coming here? Would you like to go there? So that kind of language, the strategy will be maintaining the other person's negative face. So this is kind of the background of this. Now, on this specific strategy or point, there's quite different between UK and China, particularly in kind of a invitation guest host situation. So I think in the UK, we really respect self-autonomy. And I think that's where negative politeness works very well in the British culture. Usually we have a lot of expressions like, would you mind? Do you mind? Right? Or could you please? Or at your earliest convenience in the invitation setting, for example, it's very rare you will impose on the other person in the invitation. In the Chinese context, it's quite different. Usually we'll be very imposing. We will use expression like, oh, you must come. Right? If you don't come, you're not giving me face, almost like threatening. But why do we do that? Because we feel we want to show sincerity. So this is the way we want to show the eager we are. It is actually to demonstrate how sincere we want to be. And in the guest host situation, it's the same. Chinese host typically will literally say, eat, eat, eat. Drink, please drink, drink, drink. And they don't mean to be rude. They don't mean to tell you what to do. Sometimes it can for Westerners feel quite overwhelming. But they do that and they use imperative, especially imperative in a sequence like repetitive imperative. This is actually a very standard linguistic pattern to be polite and to, kind of really tell you this is what is good for you? This is what I want to show you. I care about you, or I really want to offer you something. So I think that dimension sometimes needs a bit of attention as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all very fascinating. But let's now move to more of a business relationships and business communication. So as someone in the West who is doing some business in China and with Chinese colleagues, how can they ensure that they're polite when they're negotiating with their Chinese business partners?
Excellent question. I think there's obviously no one size for all question. It's answer. I think obviously that depends on whether this is the first negotiation or whether you already know your partner very well. In the book, I actually talk about two different strategies or politeness strategies that Chinese businessmen use in order to facilitate or make the negotiation process smoother. And obviously, this is just for, references and for Western businessmen to understand this is expected or this is a common practice. The first one is small talk. When I talk about small talk, I wonder what comes to your mind, right? In the UK, small talk very much focuses on weather. We love to talk about weather. But I think in the Chinese context, it tends to be much longer. So the small talk involves a range of different topics, and also it tend to be more personal. And I think that would be the main differences. And sometimes, the Westerners might feel a little bit uncomfortable, feel there's a blur between professional life and personal life. And I think that's the fundamental difference when it comes to do business. Chinese people feel the relationship, the trust is the starting point before business. And the reason they spend so much longer on small talk or building that connection is they want to know you as a person. So, and they want to, build that trust. In order to do that, they don't mind share about a piece of their personal life with you. And at the same time, they're expecting that from you to know what kind of person you are. So I think even though we both use small talks, but we use small talks very differently in negotiation. So I think that chapter is definitely interesting for a lot of readers to know. And I would say the second strategy is about using metaphor, using metaphorical language. So that I wouldn't say it's, distinctively Chinese, right? But I think that link well with what I mentioned previously in terms of this language refinement. So Chinese tend to be relatively indirect. A lot of times people do not want to go into negotiation, feel this is like a hard bargain, you want to you don't want to offend necessarily your counterpart, but sometimes you might disagree, right? You might want to, really argue for your interest. And then, but protect the face and the relationship, at the same time. So one of the strategies Chinese use a lot, the politeness strategy, is to use metaphors. So again, in the book, I include different examples how Chinese use metaphors. Some of it is to really enhance the partnership, saying, "Oh, we're in this together," but some of it can be used to really arguing and fighting for a big, better, deal. So there's a different variety that people use. I think, to answer your question, again, this is really a big topic, but I think in the book, what I try to do is provide a perspective that Westerners might not immediately think of, or the practice might be slightly different. So hopefully by, knowing how to engage in small talk, how to use metaphorical language to be, indirect and, so to speak, polite, it can force better negotiation and better outcome.
Interesting. Yeah, those kinds of things you wouldn't really consider unless you're in such a situation. So yeah, it's very important to be prepared. But when it comes to negotiations and business relationships, sometimes you have to say no. And in the book, you've got a chapter that's titled "Saying No the Chinese Way." So how is that way different from our way of saying no?
Excellent question. I think one of the things kind of linked back to what I've already described in Bridging the Gap is about the overall communication style. So saying no in Chinese context, broadly speaking, I mean, the individual situation of course matter, right? And the relationship you have with your counterpart also matter. But broadly speaking, people tend not to say no directly for the sake of saying no. And I think a lot of times, if I was dealing with a Chinese partner, and then that's where, the situation gets interesting. So I think the book obviously will try to illustrate to you how Chinese would communicate with Chinese, because that would be the natural default manner, right? And once you understand that, then, when you work cross-culturally, you can then have better awareness and insight. Now, if a Chinese want to reject another Chinese, we will never say no. So, because you don't need to say no. you don't never need to be so explicit. So what you do is usually relatively indirect, and I'm not generalized here, but typically the moment people think, heard expressions like, "Oh, this might be a little bit challenging or difficult, we will need to discuss this internally, or we need to take some time to consider a little bit more," such expressions is already telling you no, or it's already telling you, what you initially proposed might not work, right? So these are not telling you, "We will spend time to think about it. We need to find a solution together." That's not the message. These are just, in general, message to telling you, "Okay, this is not gonna work as the way you think it will be." Now, transferring it to cross-cultural communication. So we all know, even we have the best translators, and even people probably already have some awareness, some habits just die hard, right? Especially when it comes to this kind of internal conflict. There's always be a bit of internal conflict if you are very used to being indirect. You don't want to ruin the relationship. You want to keep the harmonious relationship. So it's very natural for Chinese people, even if they've, they know they need to be more explicit, still tend to be perceived as more indirect compared to the West. So I think this is one of the things for the Western business people to appreciate. They don't meant to, be ambiguous. Just for the sake of it, it's just a matter of being polite. So, what are the counterpart? What are the strategies to understand whether this is a genuine no, or this is a maybe no, or this is literally they're really telling you they're westernized enough when they say we need to discuss internally. They mean they will discuss internally. I think that's where I think a lot of follow-up question, or kind of in English we say beat around the bushes, but that helps. You need to try to read the body language. You can probe a little bit, then you will get to know the bottom of the truth maybe a little bit closer. You can never expect the counterpart will just say no to you like so explicitly. I just think that's not the typical communication style.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting because I mean, if you hear that thing in the UK, we'll think about it. We'll speak about it internally. You wouldn't think it's definitely a no. So yeah, very interesting. But another very fascinating part of the book is about compliments, which tells me that Chinese people make compliments in a different way from what we're used to. So if we want to make a compliment to someone in China, whether it's in our personal life or again in our business communications, what would be the polite way to do it?
It's actually more around how we respond to compliments. That's one of the more striking differences. So, as you know, Chinese culture really pay a lot of attention to modesty and also respect to the other person's face. So, usually, the default strategy, politeness strategy, is to reject a compliment or to repay the compliment back to the other person. So that is a very common way to maintain harmony and being polite. One of the danger when it comes to professional setting in the UK is, it could be perceived as inconfident, you're not confident, or sometimes even insincere. Because when people say you're really doing very well, why are you then saying you're not, right? So I think that is one of the area to be aware of. I was once sitting in interviews really contrast differences. We're hiring, one German teacher versus hiring a Chinese teacher. And the interview is so fascinating. I think, with German colleagues doing their presentation, part of the interview requirement is to do a presentation. They would all come across as quite confident and assertive and showcase their ideas. And if you think about in the UK, the apprenticeship, how the different candidates sell themselves. That's kind of the typical kind of manner. Probably the appendix, apprentice. Some of the people don't go a little bit all over the top, even for the Westerners. But for the Chinese, it's very interesting. They all started with their interview, kind of almost apologizing and almost always say, "Oh, I'm just sharing my ideas." But in Chinese, we have an expression like "pao zhuan yin yu," so I'm just throwing out a brick, and with the hope that we are going to come out or attract jade. So again, so it's basically they're saying what they're saying might not be good enough, might not be well considered, and they welcome any feedback and any suggestions or even improvement. But you can think in a Western interview setting, the moment you show you, or even literally some people say, "I'm not really sure what I said is the right thing. I welcome your, feedback." It would just totally, confuse the interviewer, right? They were thinking, if you don't know what you're talking about, why are you applying for this job? But it didn't come across their mind. They know what they are talking about. But they're saying this because they want to show respect and they want to be modest and they want to be polite. So I think this has a really kind of professional consequences if you don't know, because from the interviewer's perspective, you might miss out a good candidate because you misjudge their politeness with incompetence or incompetence, right? But from an interviewee's perspective, your modesty behavior might just cost you a job. So it goes like vice versa. And I think these are the things, really kind of makes a difference, how we responded to compliment and when we want to be modest or not.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. And I think, well, from everything that we've discussed, and obviously there's a lot more in the book, it really shows how important it is to understand the different perspectives of politeness when working or even just going to China for a visit. But to summarize this very interesting conversation, Catherine, why would you say that understanding Chinese perspective of politeness is so vital, especially when doing business there?
I think we tend to look at politeness, think this is how we behave, this is what we say a lot of times. But I think fundamentally, it shows you a different structure, a different way of thinking, and different way of understanding power and approaching legitimacy. So that is very important when it comes to business leadership. And I think to understand that and it's one thing, right? So obviously there's one dimension of understand China because China is, the world's second economy. There's a lot of opportunities still there. So I think for those people who want to work with China, understanding how the structure, the social structure works is obviously important for building rapport, to have good relationship. But I think beyond that, we can also, learn through different lens. I think that's the second purpose also of the book for anyone who wants to understand how society power can work across different culture. This is the book to read because that opens your mind and give you a very different perspective to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Catherine, for your time today. I really enjoyed talking with you about harmony and differences, and differences between the Chinese perspective of politeness and our perspective here in the West. Of course, I encourage our listeners to grab a copy of the book and read more. The book is full of very useful insights, but thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, as usual, for wonderful questions. And I hope the audience, enjoy our chat as much as I do, but also enjoy reading the book. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.